Narayana Namaskritya Naraicha Banarutamam Deva Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nasapayesha Badresu Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamas Loke Bhakti Bhavati Nastike Vedirama Nichaiva Purane Bharati Tata Hadan Tachem Hadicha Hari Savata Giyati Mukam Kartiva Chalam Pangu Langate Griya Yakripataham Vande Sri Guru Dinatayane Paramananda Madhava Dhamma Pajita Karavuta Paramoni Masamsatan Vedan Vastavamata Vastasvarunta Vatayo Mulana Sima Bhagavatam Mahamani Kitan Giva Paraiswara Sadi Uridi Havarujite Kribita Kishanam Atoyam Brahma Sultanam Bharatata Vininaya Gayati Basarupasa Vedata Parabhimita Savavidyanti Saraha Sri Bhakta Mishati Tarasamita Sati Prasya Nayata Sarati Kuchit Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are continuing reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 17. The subject of the descent of the river Ganges, text 10 and 11. So this prose format is not verse form. So I just read through and then we do word for word meaning, then English and translation and the purport. Translation and the purport. So I read text 10 first. Angi chana danarya chavasi vasi shanti bhuso medari giri dhitara satasaha. Translation. Many other rivers, both big and small, flow from the top of Mount Meru. These rivers are like daughters of the mountain, and they flow to the various tracts of land in hundreds of branches. Text 11. Tatapi batam vivasam kamakittan nayan yashtabhasani swaginam punyasishopabhogastan stanani bhumani swagapadani vyapadishanti. So we do word for word meaning. Tatapi, out of all of them, Bharatam, known as Bharatbhasha, eva, certainly, vasam, the tract of land, kamakshetram, the field of activities, and yani, the others, ashtabhasani, eight tracts of land, swaginam, of the living entities, elevated to the heavenly planets by extraordinary pious activities, punya, of the results of pious activities, sesha, of the remainder, upabhogasthanani, the places for material enjoyment, bhaumani swagapadani, as the heavenly places on earth, vyapadisanti, they designate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki. Among the nine verses, the tract of land known as Bharatvas is understood to be the field of activities, the field of creative activities. Learned scholars and saintly persons declare the other eight verses to be meant for very highly elevated pious persons. After returning from the heavenly planets, they enjoy the remaining results of their pious activities in these eight earthly verses. Purport. The heavenly places of enjoyment are divided into three groups: the celestial heavenly planets, the heavenly places on earth, and the below heavenly places, which are found in the lower regions. Among these three classes of heavenly planets, the heavenly places on earth are the eight verses other than Bharat verse. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, when the living entities living in the heavenly planets exhaust the results of their pious activities, they return to this earth. In this way, they are elevated to the heavenly planets, and then they again fall to the earthly planets. This process is known as Brahmanda Brahmana, wandering up and down throughout the universes. Those who are intelligent, in other words, those who have not lost their intelligence, do not involve themselves in this process of wandering up and down. They take to the devotional service of the Lord so that they can ultimately penetrate the covering of this universe and enter the spiritual kingdom. Then they are situated on one of the planets known as Vaikuntha Loka, or still higher, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee is never caught in the process of being promoted to the heavenly planets and again coming down. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Erupe Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhogya Vanjiv Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bich. Among all the living entities wandering throughout the universe, one who is most fortunate comes in contact with a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus gets the opportunity to execute devotional service. Those who are sincerely seeking the favor of Krishna come in contact with a guru, a bona fide representative of Krishna. The Mayavadis, indulging in mental speculation, and the Kamis, desiring the results of their actions, cannot become gurus. A guru must be a direct representative of Krishna who distributes the instructions of Krishna without any change. Thus, only the most fortunate persons come in contact with the guru. As confirmed in the Vedic literatures, one has to search out a guru to understand the affairs of the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirmed this point. One who is very interested in understanding the activities in the spiritual world must search out a guru, a bona fide representative of Krishna. From all angles of vision, therefore, the word guru is especially meant for the bona fide representative of Krishna and no one else. Padma Puran says, a Vaishnava guru nasyat, one who is not a Vaishnava or who is not a representative of Krishna cannot be a guru. Even the most qualified Brahmana cannot become a guru if he is not a representative of Krishna. Brahmanas are supposed to acquire six kinds of auspicious qualifications. They become very learned, Pratana, and very qualified teachers, Pratana. They become expert in worshipping the Lord or the demigods, Yajana, and they teach others how to execute this worship, Yajana. They qualify themselves as bona fide persons to receive alms from others, pratigraha, and they distribute the wealth in charity, dana. Yet, even a brahmana possessing these qualifications cannot become a guru unless he is a representative of Krishna, Guru Nasyat. Vaishnava is Swapacho Guru. But a Vaishnava, a bona fide representative of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, can become a guru even if he is a Swapacha, a family of dog eaters. Of the three divisions of heavenly planet, Swargaloka, Bhumiswarga is sometimes accepted as a tract of land in Bharatvarsh, known as Kashmir. In this region, there are certainly good facilities for material sense enjoyment. But this is not the business of a pure transcendentalist. Sri Rupa Goswami describes the engagement of a pure transcendentalist as follows. Anya Bilasita Sonya Gyana Kamadana Vritam Anukuyuna Krishna Nusilana Bhakti Uchanan. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Those who fully engage in devotional service to Krishna just to please him are not interested in three divisions of heavenly planets, namely Divya Swaga, Bhoma Swaga, and Bila Swaga. Gurave Gurachandaya Radhikaya Tadaroye Krishna Krishna Bhaktaya Tab Bhaktaya Namo Namo Agyana Trimendasya Agyana Ganam Salya Kaya Chakshmitangina Tasmya Shri Gurave Namo Vancha Kaba Trubhisya Kripa Shri Vacha Pati Chanam Pavana Bhiya Vashna Bhiya Namo Namo. So this chapter of the Bhagavatam is dealing with the descent of Ganga, how Ganga Devi, how she has descended from the heavenly planet. Basically, it comes from the part of the Kosha Ocean, Karana, from the when Lord Vamanadeva, when he built three steps of land from Bali Maharaj. So that time he had extended his fruit that covers the whole universe. Lord Vamanadeva is known as Trivikram. Trivikram means that with the three steps of land, he covers the entire creation. Actually, with two steps, the first step, he covers half the universe, and then the second step, he covers the other half. So when it extends its foot up to the extent of the end of the universe, so the toe, it pierces the universal covering. Actually, when you read the Briya Bhaktarmita, it explains that the universal covering is so thick, very, very thick. You can just imagine it. The thickness of it is that, for instance, the length of this universe is 4 billion miles. That is the length of the universe. Now, if you multiply that by 10, that is the next. Now, this universe is, there are eight layers: earth, water, fire, air, intelligence, ego. There are eight layers. So the first one is, the first layer is earth. So the dimension of the universe is 4 billion miles. If you multiply that by 10 times, which means by 40 miles, that's the 40, what is that, 40 billion miles. That is the length of the earth, which covers this universe. And then multiply that again by the water again. So 10, you can just imagine the extent. So you can't even estimate it. So when Vamanadeva, when he was extending his foot, he pierced the covering. So which means his toe is not an ordinary toe to be able to cover that covering of the universe. And then when he pierced it, and then the water came through, the water from the Kosha Ocean came through, and then that flows them, and that became Ganga Devi. And of course, there's very very nice. There are compositions when Keshava Kashmiri, when he met Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, because Keshava Kashmiri was a pandit, Digvijay pandit, he had conquered all directions, defeating any scholars. So he had gone to Navadip to be the as a champion scholar. He went to Navadip to proclaim himself as a Digvijay, somebody who has conquered all directions. So that time when he went to Navadip, and normally the scholar, because they know that this fellow is a great pandit, so no one wanted to confront him, so they simply sent him to Nimai Pandit. They figured that, well, if you defeat Nimai Pandit, and Nimai Pandit was just a boy, so the scholars, they figured that they don't have to feel ashamed, because he only defeated a young boy. Because that time Nimai Pandit, Mahaprabhu, he was a boy. He was like 12, 13 years. He wasn't too young. But he was a great scholar. He was a topmost scholar. So, just to cut the story short, when Keshava Kashmiri, when he met Mahaprabhu, and he asked that he wanted to challenge Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu simply told him that, okay, why don't you compose some verses in glorification of Mother Ganges? Because after all, Keshava Kashmiri was a great devotee, of Ganga Devi. So he composed 100 verses, immediately composed 100 verses in glorification of the Ganga. So one of those verses, I don't have it here, one of those verses explain how Ganga, it comes from the toe of Amarandev. One of those verses. Now, of course, we see that normally in the Vedic literature, we find that all the rivers or the mountains, they always have personality behind them. Just like we have the Parvata. Like Parvati, she's the daughter of Parvati, the daughter of mountain. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean actually mean the mountain? No, because there's a person behind, which means every rivers and every mountain, there's always a personality behind, which means there's a particular demigod or demigoddess who is responsible for that particular mountain. So therefore, when we refer to Ganga Devi, which means it's the goddess who is responsible for that water that flows down from the divine abode. So Ganga Devi is a person who is responsible for that water. Who's responsible for River Ganges. So as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that River Ganges, it's very very powerful, very very powerful river, very powerful body of water that descended down from the heavenly planet. When it was coming, it was such a big, fierce form that they had to petition Lord Shiva to contain the influence of the Ganges. So when she was coming down, and then so Lord Shiva contained her within his head, and then from there again, then he froze them. So. And then he mentioned here that he descended upon Mount Meru. And when it descended upon Mount Meru, and then from there, so many, many streams, so many, many rivers, big or small. So they all flowed down from the top of Mount Meru. And then they went through different directions, like that. I think I was reading something yesterday about this, that says that the Ganges flowed down, and then it went through different directions. Some went towards the east, some went towards the north, some went towards the south, and some went towards the west. So it went through different directions that way. So now, Of course, this is actually concerning the, because the Ganges River is not just in the this place, it's also in the heavenly planet. So the Ganges River is also flowing in the heavenly planet. But, and of course, because we have a material eye, so we cannot really see, we only say that, oh, Ganga Devi is coming from Gangotri, or from Gomukh. But that's all we can see. We cannot see behind, we cannot see what is beyond, you know, we can only see that, oh, the Ganga has originated from the Himalaya mountain, and then from there it flows down to the plains, and then it flows down all the way to the Ganga Saga in West Bengal. But now the Ganga is coming from the heavenly planet. So mention here that it flows down to the various tracts of land. So these various tracts of land are known as Varshas, or the islands. In this part, in this fifth canto Bhagavatam, which gives a very elaborate description of planetary systems, how the universe is divided, various planetary systems, and there's a section called a Jambudvip. So the Jambudvip is one of the islands. The Jambudvip, the Jambudvip itself is divided into nine tracts of land. So these nine tracts of land are known as there's elaborate verse. There's so many verses, but the among those verses mentioned here is Bharat verse. Bharat verse means before that it was known by a different name previously, but Bharat Maharaj, because he was a very, very pious king, so this planet was named after him, so it became Bharatvas. This is due to the piety of Bharat Maharaj. So here we are reading that this Bharatvas is called the field of fruitive activities, just like we say Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra means Kuru means to do activities, and Shetra means field. So when you say Kurukshetra, so it actually means the field of activities. That's why sometimes the Mayavadis they try to misinterpret Bhagavad Gita that the Kurukshetra does not really mean a particular place. Actually, because Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the battle of Kurukshetra in the Mahabharata time. But Kurukshetra also means a place of activity. So sometimes the Mahabharata say that Krishna is not referring to Kurukshetra as a place, but it's actually referring to the field of activities. Well, I said Dharmashete, Kurukshetra, Mama Veda Yul Sabha. So the being a field of activities where we perform actions, so which means what we do, he determines, you know, where we go. So which means here, it's only here that one can accumulate karma. So which means both based on what you do, you accumulate karma. Either you go up or you go down. So either way, but in the heavenly planet there is no accumulation of karma. And also in the lower planet, there is no accumulation of karma. The karma is only here. And that's why there is not really any real happiness or any real distress. Everything is temporary. Because this is a field of activity whereby everything, either happiness or pleasure, it's all mixed. It's mixed together. So it's a Bharat verse is one of these islands, one of these nine verses. And then there are many other verses that are mentioned here. There are many other lands. So which are this land, they are considered to be heavenly lands. Elaborate verse, let me see. So we see here that Boma Swaga, Boma, Divyaswag and Bilas, three types of heavenly planet are described. Three types. There is a Divyaswaga, or the heavenly planet where the demigods live, whereby the Indra Dev, or the where the last heavenly planet. And then There's another heavenly planet called the Bomaswaga, which means they are in the middle planetary systems. So they also considered to be heavenly planets, but they are below the heavenly planet where the demigods live, the Divaswaga. So in the Gita, it said that Kunye was like Kinye Punye Matelo Kambisanti, that sometimes when you go to the those who have been elevated to the heavenly planet, then they again fall down after they finish the enjoyment, after they go to the heaven. So now there are various classifications of varieties of heavenly planets. So within this middle planetary system, we have the Earth system. There are many elements of heavenly planets here. Actually, even in this planet also, there are many places on Earth that can also be considered to be heavenly, because the facility of material enjoyment is there. Just like in America, for instance, if you go to the Hawaii, I think Prabhupada said that Hawaii is like heavenly planet, you know, sort of heavenly planet, you know. Like Prabhupada also was mentioning here that place like Lakshmi, considered to be like a part of heavenly planet. But now, of course, I don't think so much heaven now, because you go there, so much fighting, so much terrorism, you may get blown up. So it may not be necessarily heavenly now. But certain parts, you know, of this planet, they can be considered to be heavenly. There are sources also in the lower planet, below Earth, they also to be considered to be heavenly planets. So, because according to one's piety, whatever, so one can go to all these varieties of heavenly planet by which one goes. So, the specificus, like Srila Prabhupada mentioned here, that so there are many of these heavenly planets, but so on the living entities, they are going up and down. It's called Brahmanda Brahminte. Brahmanda Brahminte means to wander. So the living entities, according to their activities, they are wandering up and down heavenly planets, higher planet or earliest planet, depending on their activities. So they are going up and down. So it's called, so sometimes they are staying in the heavenly planet, or sometimes they go to the earliest planet to suffer. So they are going, and this has been going on since time immemorial. Like when Mahaprabhu, when he was in Swati Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Rupe Brahmanda Brahminte Kona Bhogyavanjiv Guru Krishna Prasadhi Pai Bhakti Latabhij, because the living entities, they are wandering in the various planets. They are wandering this way up and down. In the Madhyalila also, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Swati Sanatha Goswami, so Mahaprabhu said, Kabu Swage Utaya Kabu Narake Dubaya Dandya Jane Rajijina Nadite Chubaya. This is the Lord is describing the condition of living entities in the material world. In the material condition, the living entity is sometimes raised to a higher planetary systems and material prosperity, and sometimes drowned in early situation. His state is exactly like that of a criminal whom a king punishes by submerging him in water and then raising him again from the water. Like there was a mention that sometimes, when a long time ago, when a king wanted to punish a criminal, so they will take the criminal into the middle of a river. So they will take him to the middle of the river, and then they will lower him down, and then they will submerge him they will put him inside the water, submerge him, and then just as he's about to drown, then they will lift him up. So they will lift him up, and then he will experience some relief. Say, oh, what a relief. And then at the moment he's again feeling some comfort, they will again put him inside the water again. So in this way, the criminal is punished. So that is the exact situation of the living entity in the material world. Because sometimes we are put in a heavenly situation, and sometimes we are put in the hellish situation. Actually, the material existence is such that sometimes we actually consider it to be heavenly, but actually it's not really. Because the very nature of this material world is actually that of perpetual fear, constant misery. But because of illusion, sometimes the living entity think that, yes, I am happy, I am enjoying. But a sage, somebody who can see the reality, they know that actually this material world is nothing but miserable at every stage. He mentioned, he said, that when the living entity is attracted by material energy, which is separate from Krishna, is overpowered by fear, because it's separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, its conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. This is called Vipayayo Smriti. To nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a spiritual master, worship deity, worshipful deity and source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotion and service. So that is the condition of materialistic life. So like Prabhupada has mentioned here, that when someone actually become intelligent, those who have developed intelligence, they do not involve themselves in the process of wandering in this material world, up and down, going from lower planet or trying to go to the heavenly planet. Because as the Lord says, Abrahmana Bhuvana Loka Punavati, said that it doesn't matter where you go, it's still a place of misery. There's a repetition of birth and death. That is there. So this purport which we read today, which is quite a long purport, and Srila Prabhupada is actually give a lot of explicit instructions, and actually there are so many segments of this purport that we can actually spend time deliberating on each of these segments that Srila Prabhupada elaborated upon. But the main thing is that a devotee of Krishna is not really interested in trying to promote himself to the heavenly planet. For one who has developed a real intelligence, whereas because normally the average people in this material world who are simply caught up in the most of material nature, even those who are performing the religiosities, those who are coming to worship God, even their desire is to eliminate the material miseries and then how to have this heavenly delight, heavenly pleasure. That's always their desire. And there was one time, there was a king. What's his name? There was a king who was performing, I forgot his name. He was performing so much pious activities. You read this in Krishna book. He was performing a lot of pious activities. Every day he gives so many cows to brahmanas. Unlimited number of cows to brahmana. What's his name? Yeah, King Nirga. King Nirga, okay. So he will give so many cows to many brahmanas. Unlimited cows. He was a very pious king. And then one time, after giving the cows to brahmanas as charity, so one of the cows which was given to a particular brahmana, so that cow wanders and went to another and mixed with another brahmana's cow. So this brahmana, he saw that the cow that has been given to him is no more there. He said, "What is this? Where is the cow that has been given to me by the brahmana? Where is the cow?" So this brahmana became very angry. Normally, brahmanas, they easily become angry. So he became very angry,
And he went back to the king. And he said, oh, the cow that you gave me, I cannot find it. Where is the cow? I cannot find the cow that you gave me. And then the king realized that actually he found that the cow he had given, he gave the cow before, but that cow came back to the king's herd, and then he had given the same cow to another brahmana. So the king says, oh, sir, I'm so sorry that this cow had wandered away and this cow has been given to another brahmana, but please, I'm ready to give you another 1,000 cows just to replace this single one. So this brahmana said, no, I don't want to accept it. I don't want to accept it. I only want that particular only. I don't want to. So this one refused and he became so angry and then he went away. So what can the king do? You know, he's trying to be good, but you know, the brahmana got it. So this way, the brahmana was displeased. So at the end of his life, the king went to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj told him that, look, you've performed so much pious activities. So much pious activity that you have performed, but you've done something bad also. Now, so much activity that you've performed, you will go to heavenly planet and enjoy like anything for a long period of time. But for the mistake you have done by displeasing a brahmana, you have to suffer for that also. You have to go to. So which you prefer? You want to suffer first or you want to enjoy first? Choose one. He said, well, you know, he figured out where, you know, he's going to go. He's going to heaven, he's going to go for a much longer time. He said, well, I want to suffer first, and then after that I can go to heaven. So Yamaraj said, okay. And then so he was turned to his lizard. So he became a lizard. So he became a lizard in his next life. So which means, actually, he mentioned that for a thief, in the next life, you become a lizard in the next life, a thief. If you steal something from somebody, in your next life, you're going to become a lizard. So don't become a thief. And she tell all the kadaka that lose, just like here in India, you see so many lizards in the rooms. You know. So all those lizards, they were thieves in their previous lives. So then of course King Niga, he became a thief, he became a lizard. Fortunately for him, he was a lizard in Dwarka. So he was a big lizard, he was in a lake, in a well. So when Lord Krishna's son came, when they were playing around, and they saw this big lizard in the lake, but they tried to remove it, but so big they could not remove it. So they went to call Lord Krishna to come and remove this this lizard. So the Lord came, and he saw the lizard in the lake, in the well. So he extended his arm, and he took out the lizard out of the well. So immediately, because he was touched by Krishna's arm, immediately he gave up that lizard body, and then he immediately achieved the heavenly body, divine effulgent body. And then Krishna, of course, then he told him to narrate his past and why, what has become to him. So in this way, he narrated how he had become a lizard and all this. But fortunately for him, because he was touched by Krishna, even though he was supposed to go to heaven, he actually became a devotee. So which means he got much more than just go to the heavenly planet to enjoy himself. So in this way, when we perform so many fruitive activities for a better situation in our next life, sometimes many mistakes may be there that one may commit. But in this case, the devotees, they are not really interested in trying to go to the heavenly planet. They're not interested in that. What they want to do is to simply want to render unalloyed loving devotional service unto Krishna. That is in the sixth canto Bhagavatam, Yamaraj was instructing his associate, he said, Narayana Parashavi Na Kuchana Bibhyati Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu Api Chiridashi. He said that devotees of the Lord, because they are Narayana Para, they have shelter, because they have taken shelter of Lord Narayana, so to them, they don't care to go to heavenly planet or to go to even Ellie's planet. They can go anywhere and everywhere. Because they've taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, Lord Narayan. So they're not interested in that, to heaven or hell. Devotees can be anywhere. Devotees can be anywhere. So then of course the Prabhupada is giving instruction here that those, because devotees, they are not interested, they simply want to render honor, loyal, loving, devotional service unto Krishna. So my Prabhu is saying that Kona Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. So the devotees, the Jiva who is wandering in different planetary systems, going from up and down or going up and down, just like you heard the story of Trishanku. Huh? So Trishanku was performing sacrifices, and then he met Vishwamitra Muni. And then he told Vishwamitra Muni, then he said that he wants to go to heavenly planet. He wants to promote himself to the heavenly planet. So Vishwamitra, being a great saint, he said, okay, I will send you to the heavenly planet in your same body. So Trishanku, by the power of Vishwamitra, so he was going to the heavenly planet. If actually in his body he was going. But as he was going, so Indra saw him coming. See that, who is this fellow coming down here? Who, you know, he has not done any kind of tapasya, any kind of positive activities, and he wants to come to the heavenly planet. So immediately Indra sent him back. He pushed him back. So this guy was again falling down. But as he was falling down, Vishwamitra said, he saw him coming down. He said, oh, he said, who did demigod, how can they challenge him? He again sent him back up again. So Vishwamitra sent him back up, and again Indra again sent him back down. So this way he was going up and down, he was floating in the sky. Up, so it's like he cannot. Vishwamitra was sending him up, and the demigod are sending him back down. So it's like become like kind of like a miserable situation for him. So the devotees are not interested in that. Devotees the only one Krishna. Because why is that devotee want only Krishna? Because devotees, they know that any form of material enjoyment, it's really of no particular necessity. It's of no significance whatsoever. You know, just like I mentioned that samasta ye pada palava mahapana punya shomarari pavambodhi vase padam 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 padam. This is a different verse. There's a verse that mentioned that the happiness that is there when the calf, when it steps on the land, when the calf step on the land that contains water, so the appellate that is there, so the calf hoofprint is like a very small of water that can contain of the hoofprint of a calf. So this kaivaya means the happiness of Brahmanda, the Brahmanda happiness, the happiness that is there from the Brahma realization. So the Bhakti Ananda, the happiness of devotional service is compared to an ocean, whereas the happiness of Brahmanda is compared to that what it can contain within the footprint of a calf. Now, that is the happiness of impersonal liberation. Not talk of a material world, there is actually no happiness whatsoever. Because material world simply means misery, simply means ocean. You know, even though one may be so called enjoying, but the fact, one factor is always there, fear. That fear factor is always in the material existence, because the fear factor is always there, so that actually make it impossible, make it difficult to truly have material enjoyment. It doesn't matter where you are, heavenly planet, it doesn't matter which body you are. Demigod's body, Brahma's body, it doesn't matter. The fear factor is always there. Whereas the devotees, they are free from fear. So therefore, Mahaprabhu said, when a living entity becomes fortunate, Bhagavan Jeev, he meets a guru, and that guru instructs you how to render loving devotional service unto Krishna. So, and of course, that guru, of course, is not an ordinary person. as Srila Prabhupada was giving a very elaborate purport here, that Guru is a person who is actually a dear representative of Krishna. Just like we sing in every morning in the Mangalati, that Nikunja Yunurati Kilisidya, Yayalibi Yukti Apikshaneya, that the Guru is the one who is always helping Krishna in his loving dealings with the gopis. He's a dear servant of Lord Krishna. And such a person who is called Sadguru, and it's a person who can actually take a person to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So being a guru is not an ordinary thing. A guru must be a pure devotee of Krishna. And it's not that a guru does not mean that kula guru or heredity or family guru. No, guru means someone who is a pure devotee of Krishna. And that guru can come from any class of society. It doesn't matter where that person is. He mentioned here that it's a Vaishnava guru nasya, which means a person who is not a Vaishnava cannot be a guru. But a person, even though he may be born in the family of dog eaters, swapacha, he can become guru as long as he is a pure devotee of Krishna. It doesn't matter what he is. Mahaprabhu said, kiva vipra, kiva niyasi, sura kininoi, ye guru stata vita se guru hoi. It doesn't matter what a person is, as long as he understands Krishna, he knows Krishna, he can see Krishna, then that person is guru. So, there are many other things which can be discussed from this purport, or this page of Bhagavatam, regarding the descent of the Ganges River. And of course, the Ganges is a very dear devotee of the Lord. So, so it's a very wonderful text which we read. Anyway, I'm going to stop here. If there's some question, you can please ask. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for wonderfully, briefly explain about how Ganga's is in the planetary systems. Prabhuji, this question is what you told, that King Rig, he became lizard because of his these things, mistakes. Yeah. So, this king, he got two options, either receive first punishment, and other is to enjoy. So he accepted first punishment and he became lizard in the Dwarka.
Yeah.
So recently I had visited in Kumbh Mela.
Mm-hmm.
So it is said in Vishnu Puran that those who take in the particular period bath in the Ganges, he get liberation.
Yeah.
So it was very cold to dare to go into the Ganges and take dip in that particular time.
Yeah.
But I have seen as a devotee, I heard that they are already liberated. So I got that excuse and I didn't take bath in that particular period, bonding, Brahma Murat.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen so many karmis, they were so much performing austerity and they were taking dips.
Yeah.
And on the other end, again coming back outside and they started having liquor and tobacco and all this.
Yeah.
So, but Vishnu Puran says they get liberation.
Yeah.
So what exactly?
So, because they come in, they go there, because their purpose is to, people go to like Ganges to go to Ganga Sagar or take bath, in order to wash their sin off, to get rid of their sins, and at the same time also, it doesn't necessarily mean, because liberation is not a cheap thing, because liberation, there must be a conscious effort, which means, it doesn't mean that you have to go back to what you were doing before. It doesn't mean that. Liberation actually means it's a serious matter. What is to be forgiven of your sin, but you have to stop it. No, you have to continue doing it. So, it's not that you get liberation just because they take bath in the Ganges and then again they go back to their old drinking liquor. No. They accumulate some pious activities. They accumulate some punya. That's about it. So again, that may take them several lifetimes. They accumulate some punya, which will give them another human birth in their next life. That will give them another human birth. That's what they do. But they will not get... Liberation is not an easy thing. To be liberated is not an easy thing. But at the same time, also, as mentioned earlier, devotees, why do we go to Kumbhmela as devotees? We go there to preach. We are not interested in liberation. Because bhakti is after liberation. That's where bhakti begins, after liberation. Bhakti begins. So devotees don't go there for liberation. Actually, mentioned that because many sinful people, they go and take their bath in Ganges and Yamuna to dump their sins. But when devotees go there, they go and take bath to clean the Ganges. You see? So devotees go and cleanse the Ganges because the Ganges and the Yamuna, they are overloaded with people's sins that have been dumped in the Ganges. So the Ganges need to be purified. So when devotees take bath in the Ganges get purified this way. So devotees, when they take bath in the Ganges, they have a totally different intention, not the non-devotees. So again, liberation is not that easy thing to get.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Any other points or comments? Jignana Prabhu, you want to say something about that? Jignana Prabhu, want to say something about that?
Sometimes when Yamaraj is making judgment, still he doesn't necessarily have to follow all of the rules. He has his personal interest also when he's passing judgment on the living entity. So we can't always understand why he chooses to make certain decisions.
Yeah.
And in that way, you know, there's always suspense when you come before a court.
Yeah.
Because the judge has his own personal preferences.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly, Yamaraj is also a person.
Yeah.
And we can never predict with 100% certainty how he will judge a person.
Yeah. Because Yamaraj is one of the Mahajans. So he's a devotee himself. He's a devotee because he's one of the Mahajans. We have 12 Mahajans. And Yamaraj is one of them. So his decisions is based on person to person. So sometimes he may make a decision that will benefit a particular person. In the case of King Nirga, he said, okay, either you go, you know, you have to suffer first or you go to enjoy first. So he can see, so he made him a lizard because he could see that location is coming. So he made him, so he became a lizard, and then in the next life he was liberated by the touch of Lord Krishna. So, of course, he also makes mistakes sometimes. Like in the case of when he was caused to become a Sudra, he had to take birth as Vidura. So he also committed mistake in his decisions when he awarded punishment to Mandukya Muni. Because Mandukya Muni, the story, you know, he was a sage. He was meditating. All of a sudden he was arrested because some group of dacoits, they came to take shelter in his ashram, and then he was arrested, and then he was pierced by the lance of the king. So Mandukya Muni was very surprised that how come he's a great sage and he was arrested by the king. So he went before Yamaraj that how come you allow me to have this kind of punishment. So Yama just said, "Well, when you were a child, you kill an ant with a blade. You pierce an ant with a blade. So therefore, I gave you this punishment for it. So therefore, you are accused this way." So the sage was surprised. Said that I was a child supposed to be sinless. How can you do that to a child? So therefore, I caused you to become a Sudra. So Yamaraj became a Sudra in his next life. So he became Vidura in his he took birth as a Sudra in his next life as Vidura. So in this way, so he also make mistake kind of in his judgment, by which he may face a repercussion for that. So like that. So it's like, you know, balance situation kind of. Any other points? Okay, I guess for short time. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Rajna Bhagavatam ki, Gopi Manande, Hare Krishna.